WRFU LP Urbana 104.5 FM. Community radio, homemade for the community, by you, the community.
In the morning I wake up to see the ink that's on my skin fading away.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. This is WRFU LP Urbana. WRFU is an open forum for Urbana-Champaign online community. Views expressed are those of the speakers and are not intended to represent WRFU, UCIMC, and we are streaming live at WRFU.net. Yes, and I am Reverend Dr. Evelyn B. Underwood, and you, sir?
Dr. Bishop King James Underwood.
And we are missing our friend and colleague, Deacon Bobby Gilner, on today. However, we're going to go forward in the name of the Lord and do the program that we have set forth to do on today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, Bishop.
Yes.
And this is Good Afternoon, Champaign, Urbana, and vicinity. And we're going to have a prayer by yours truly in word and a prayer in song by Bishop King James Underwood. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, O Lord, because you are great and greatly to be praised in the name of Jesus. Lord, oh, we are so grateful for Juneteenth and all the activities that have been put forth by many people, and all people have been involved. Praise God. We see inclusion throughout all of the programs that have been put forth so far, and the ones that are coming today and on tomorrow, which is Father's Day. And we thank you, Lord, for all fathers in the name of Jesus, because there is a need for the fathers in the life of their children. And we thank you for the fathers, Lord, who take this responsibility very seriously. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the men of God, the men of integrity, the men of honesty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, we have women too. But we had Mother's Day and Women's Day, backbone of the black home. Now we are looking to the fathers. Lord, there's a need because our Father, which art in heaven, I believe are going to bless the men who are emulating him and doing for their families the way they're supposed to do, as it written in the Word of God, as is written in other documents throughout history. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, oh Lord, because you said in your word, huh, that we can tell Satan in the name of Jesus that we bind him and every principality, every power, every rule of darkness, every spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places, every evil spirit, every demon spirit, and every spirit that is not of God, that has been and not still try to operate against us. We bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And with our faith and the word of God, we win. We read the back of the book and we win. Yes, we're going through, but we're not stuck. We're trusting and believing in you. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for this program. And Lord, let us be able to encourage, enlighten, and inform for the next hour. In Jesus' name, we thank you, O Lord. And we say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that Satan have been destroyed. And we are free. Devil, take your hands off of God's property. We are free in Jesus. Hallelujah. And we speak life, to every area of our lives. Hallelujah. That you're trying to come against. Life, come forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hallelujah.
Oh, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So much, so much, so many things going on, Bishop. Just wanted to say about Juneteenth, June 19th, that's what Juneteenth means. We were looking at some trivia the other day, and it said Juneteenth is celebrated on which day? June 19th, Bishop, and Juneteenth, you said Juneteenth celebrate the end of what in the United States? Slavery is the answer. And what state is known as the birthplace of Juneteenth celebration? Texas. Another thing, what does the word Juneteenth combine? And we know June 19th. And what year did the first Juneteenth celebration occur? And it was 1866, which is 1 year after the 1865 was when it happened. But 1866 was the next year, and that's when the first celebration occurred. And people say, what kind of cake is, another trivia, what kind of cake is traditionally served on Juneteenth? And the answer was red velvet, but we know there's chocolate cake, especially German chocolate cake, and pound cake is also served, but red velvet was the answer. So Juneteenth celebration also includes what? And of course, food, music, food, and community gathering. Yes, it includes all of that. But the most important thing we need to keep in mind, Bishop, is that the 13th, 14th, and the 15th Amendments are resulting in after, 1863 when the proclamation, but then 1865 was the 13th Amendment, and then later on came the 14th and the 15th Amendment, and we know the 13th Amendment was the abolition of slavery, Section 1, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And Section 2 of the 13th Amendment said, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. And we know the 14th Amendment dealt with the civil rights, you know, and citizenship, and it's a lot to read. I could read it, but you can read the 14th Amendment. It's very important to understand and know, especially at this time when seemingly America is forgetting its democracy and all. And the 15th Amendment dealt with black suffrage, meaning for the black men to have a right to vote. You know, white men, you know, had, but then black men had a right to vote in that amendment, the 15th Amendment. Not women, you know, not black women, not white women, just black men. And I'm telling you, history will show the next election, after that, when they did the census to see how many black men voted, honey, that's when the first Reconstruction started, because black men was elected to Congress, then because they got out and voted. Read your history, young people, so you can see, you know, and understand what's going on. Also, I would like to say when we went to the program the other day, Bishop, at the City of Abada on Tuesday, reflection and reverence, but it was held at the city building. It was a very excellent program. Kids, the Dream Kids, sang songs, Bishop, and one wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water, God gonna trouble the water. But then, they had a guest speaker, professor from the University of Illinois and Black Studies program. He did an excellent job, and he personified what happened in Texas, because he, his grandfather and his father and all are from Texas, and they went through all those years of celebrating even before it became a national holiday, Juneteenth. But the what touched my heart so when the city council person, Verdell Jones III, Urbana City Ward 4, I'm telling you, when he spoke, he gave a synopsis, but he talked about his experience of going to Africa, Ghana, and other places in Africa, and how, you know, he was able to see where the African, you know, people were in, you know, how the places where they put the men and then brought the men over to America, you know. You know, they were stolen from their country and brought here. However, he talked about even the ones that were brought over, bitch, you know, in Africa, we were kings and queens and all of that. And our kids don't know that, but I remember teaching that to kids, black and white children. And don't you know that some of the black children never was the same. They had confidence in themselves. Yes, I had to teach history about when they were in the cotton fields picking cottons and all of that. But there's something before that history. Way back when African people were kings and queens and all of that. Well, Bishop, we can see in the Bible, too. Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, she was black. And all of those people who were artists men, and they brought here to America. Well, some died in the Middle Passage and all because on them ships. But the thing is, when we came over here, we were the cream of the crop. So our heritage shows that we were the cream of the crop, Bishop.
Yeah, many of them died on ship because they had them in cubicles like they do wine, put them in a little cubicle, and they had people stacked on top of people, and you can imagine how it were, and some were not able to stand it, and they died.
Yeah. It's just so important for our young people, our children, to know that we are better than some of the things that we see are happening. We're better than that. And I believe if you say each one, teach one, Bishop, if we teach our young people who they are, you know, if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. You don't have a direct knowledge of where you're going, or you don't even think you're going anywhere, going to die at 10 and 12 and 13 through gun violence. And that's not us. How can we convey when the councilman spoke, when he, you know, gave, it was probably 75 or 100 young people there at that time, and they needed to hear that. And we need to reinforce it in them to know that you come from royalty.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this media and these songs and all of that cussing and talking about your mama and all of that's not us. That's far from us. I don't know where this came. It's evil spirits is what it is. And the Bible said we can speak to those spirits and we can bind them in the name of Jesus. And that's what we got to start doing. We faith-based people who believe that, and the ones who have other beliefs, I know is that whatever beliefs they are not killing and shooting and some of the stuff that you see on these even television programs, smart TV, and other devices. And our kids are watching that, are consuming that. We need to watch it, parents. We need to watch it. There's some positive things happening. I was looking in the paper today about Avid. What is Avid? And I was just talking to who I believe is a godmother of Abbott. She ain't that old, so I'm not going to say grandmother. And that's Miss Knight, you know, in Champaign Schools. You know, that's when I first heard about Abbott, through her and her work. And it said Abbott is an acronym. Said Abbott means achievement via individual determination. Is a support system designed, a system designed to prepare first generation college students of those in the academic middle for college, career, and life readiness, according to Angela Ward. Now, Angela Ward, the Champaign School District Assistant Superintendent for Equity and Engagement. Yeah, she's, you know, over that. Yeah, Angela Angela Smith Ward. Yeah, she has done a lot. She used to be principal Franklin Middle School. I mean, she put it on the map. She was in Washington, D.C. and everything. I remember all that because I used to substitute at her schools and with the kids, the programs that she had there. And she later on went into administration. But she put Franklin Middle School on the map. And the young lady who came in after her continued to work and did a wonderful job. Now she's principal at the Centennial School. I can't think of her name right now, but Avid is a great program. Urbana has bought into it just from recent years, but the Champaign kids have been have done a wonderful job when they participated in the Avid program. And it goes on to say that a News Gazette said Avid programs are offered in about 7,500 K-12 schools across the United States. The program was established in 1980. When broadly implemented, Avid becomes a vehicle that reshapes teaching, learning, and the overall culture of school by positioning all students to practice high-level skills, gain greater knowledge about colleges and careers, and develop life skills such as organization, writing, inquiry, collaboration, and reading, Ward said. Avid has been in the Champaign District for more than 23 years. Said, I know they've been in there a long time, because I remember when Mrs. Thomas was at Centennial. She would work with the average student. Plus, she would take them, Bishop, to the universities, the HBCUs and all, to help them to see. Sometimes you got to see it, you know.
Yeah, but you used to load up.
I can't hear you.
You used to load up your station wagon and carry a lot of kids in the community out to the university.
We did. We did that. We did that. That was even before. That was in the 60s and 70s because we wanted them to see another way.
Yes.
You see, and plus you as pastor made sure. I remember it was Mrs. Claiborne. We had her. She was standing in line. So our children, for the summer arts programs and other programs that they had there, she was standing in line to make sure that our kids get an opportunity to sign up, because everybody was trying to sign up. That was before Abbott. And before that, Bishop, you as pastor, had the program before they had the breakfast program nationally. You, our church, paid for the. Go ahead. You got to talk in the mic.
Our church had the good morning breakfast for the kids in Burke Village, and before they went to school in the Burke Village, we fed them before they went to school, and the kids did a lot better in school.
And we can remember we used to support them every time. And then when it's come time for Thanksgiving and Christmas, we had some of the best baskets to help the people out.
Yes.
And people remember we would go and pray with them and then give them substance. Yeah. But, yeah, that's said at Avid, it was here when gifted education was still being offered. Ward said Unit 4 initially introduced Avid to the district because so many students did not qualify for seats in gifted and honors classes and were soon excluded from enrichment opportunities. However, several Unit 4 students still wanted to attend college like their peers. Once the district implemented Avid, we watched our numbers of underrepresented students accepted into college soar. After seeing the impact on vulnerable student population, we expanded this support to all students. Students who qualify academically may take part in the Avid elective classes, a regularly scheduled class that offers a nurturing space for students determined to attend college or pursue a professional career, Ward said. These students are placed in the most rigorous courses and are taught YCOR, writing, inquiry, collaboration, organization, and reading skills that will help them gain entry to and succeed at the university level and in the workplace. Students in the AVI elective classes experience a special curriculum, Bishop, each day that requires tutoring, college tours, guest speakers, peer collaboration, Socratic discussion, philosophical debates, and more. She said they have a dedicated team that monitors, motivates, and supports their academic journey. Although not all students need the intensity of the elective classes, Ward said many still need practice with special skills. Tier 1 Avid ensures that each teacher exposes students to writing, inquiry, collaboration, organization, and reading each day via the core curriculum. She said Tier 1 implementation mandates that students' instruction is grounded in essential questions that guide learning and ensures grade-level standards are taught and mastered. She said Unit 4 Middle School now use Avid as a system driver, which is when secondary school uses Avid to reform the entire culture of their schools. Leaders mandate an organizational system for all students set to at least 40% of staff for Avid training and insist one more college and career opportunity, said all three of Champaign Middle School, undergo rigorous external evaluation, have achieved national demonstration status, and have maintained it for several years. This is good, Bishop. Mm. That is, essentially means every student at those three schools benefit, all the students benefit from most intensive Avid implementation, she said. This makes Unit 4 unique, as few schools in the U.S. achieve this status. Elementary schools can only implement Ivy School wide, as there are no separate elective courses available at that level. The national website, avid.org, says students with two or more years of Avid elementary exhibits significantly higher English language art scores by the fifth or sixth grade than peers without Avid elementary experiences. But I don't think we have Avid in our elementary school. It just started at the middle school. But we've got to seek to do more of this. If it needs to be in the elementary, we're going to have to see that it is put there. But with our parents getting more involved and working with the teachers, we won't get this done. Parents got to organize.
Yes, and we also have two other systems that's helping our young people succeed. And it was a summer program that we had, and our children went to, it was like a summer school, and that was Upward Bound. And it took them to colleges, and they could see what they looked college like was like. And then they taught them during the summer with classes that helped them to develop to go to college. And then, now we also have a program at NAACP, AXL. And it's helping develop young people and giving them a thumbs up on the things that they can do. A lot of them are very talented in the arts, and it's teaching them that they can do education and arts through AXL.
And Bishop, you are right. In the Freedom School, yeah. I'm telling you, they've been doing great over the years with the Freedom School, and we need to maybe we continue that effort. Now I understand that the Dream is trying to get into Freedom School, but for years, you know, Vanessa Gibson, and then the University of Illinois, Cecily Thomas, and Danae Burnett, you know, all of those people have worked with the Freedom School. And been in this community for a number of years, and they've been doing a great job, too. And I'm sure that they will continue to do something. And when it expands, you know, that's great to see expansion. And, two, I just want to remind everyone that that at the University of Illinois YMCA Murphy Gallery, there's an exhibit there, and it's been there, sir.
Yes. No, I'm
okay.
Listening.
It's been there ever since April the 16th, and it will be there until August 9th. And it's called The Black Gaze, Portrait of Community Through an African American Lens. And Dwayne Banks Jr. is the one that was behind that. I think he was Portrait of the Community Through an African American Lens by Dwayne Banks Jr. I think that was part of his master's thesis. And there's a lot of, I think there's about 30 or 40 pictures and informational piece on that. On each African-American in that gallery at the Y, and that's 1001 South Wright Street in Champaign on the university campus. And I think it opened up from 10 to 4. The summer hours are 10 to 4. The exhibit exhibition on view. It's from 10 to 4, Monday to Friday. And it's called The Black Gaze. They had an article in the News Gazette sometime about that. But, oh, I went to see it. My picture happened to be in there. But that's not the only reason. There's a lot of more, like Miss Bridgewater's son. What's the youngest son? What's the name?
Cecil?
Ronald Bridgewater.
Okay.
He's a professor at the University of Illinois. And, he's one of the persons. And a lot, many, many more people. So it's worth it to take the time. I know parking is difficult on campus, but it's better during the summer hours with most of the students gone. It's really worth going to see. Just like the one here at the IMC building, the old post office in Urbana, Mrs. Cleveland, it's so good to see the history that she has here. She had an old smoothing iron. We used to call it a smoothing iron, different Bishop.
Yeah.
And rubber. You know, they don't know nothing about the rubber. You can see actually rubber where you used to have to, that was part of.
That's how you wash your clothes.
That's right, them rubber. And we didn't have no, what do you call it now that we have wash and dry? No wash and dry. You used to have a tub, rubber, and you can see the rubber right over here. So it's a lot to see. And we can, the grandmamas have brought it down to us to know. And we need to bring our grandchildren and so they can see it. You know, and that's another way, Bishop.
Yes.
And that's historic to let them know our history.
Yes, how things were before they got to the place where they are.
Lord, have mercy.
And they kept graduating from the rub board to the washing machine with the wringer on it. And then it went from the washing machine with the wringer on it with the spin tub. And so it's continue to develop into new systems.
And just like they was talking about, lemonade being in the refrigerator, I said, no, I like ice. I was telling them yesterday, I said, but they don't understand why with black people, not all black people, but that's a historic thing. We didn't have no ice. We had an ice box. And every once a week, the ice man used to come, and the ice, if you didn't have one of them things that this sick and get the ice off, it was a big block, wasn't it, Bishop?
Yeah, it comes in 50-pound block of ice.
And you had the ice
they
box.
They used to have ice houses where they manufactured ice, and then people would go. The people that sell ice to the community, they would go to the ice house and put it on the trucks and carry it around to different houses, and they would put it in their ice box. And the ice box would keep things cool. And but before that, we had Mother Earth, and when we didn't have the ice box, we used to bury things in the earth, and the earth kept things for us because. A lot of people don't know, even though it's hot, that the earth is cool. When you go down to so many feet of level, you can feel the coolness. It's still in the earth, but on top it's warm.
And in Mississippi, too, you know, we had pumps and we had something else. But when we could go down so far, we could get water.
And the pump was designed for the first level of water. That's what the pumps was. They would drill a pipe down so far, and then when they get to a level, then we have underground taverns. The earth has veins like we have, and when they hit this vein, then the water come up, and you go further down, you can get, instead of having pump water, you have a taser water, which is a lighter water.
See that? I'm telling you, we had to go through so much, but we learned so much. Our grandfathers and grandmamas and all learned so much. And just like the watermelon, yeah, black people lazy and love watermelon. They don't know. And my our son, Pastor Burnett, talked about it last week when he called in, a week before that, I can't remember. And he was saying the watermelon, you could get more crops with watermelon. It was strategic because you could get on only so many seeds from the governmental people that they had to help the slaves, and they figured able to figure out that why they use watermelon, because they can get more growing seasons, and watermelon you didn't need as much water as some other ones, and so it was strategic, it was intelligence, you know, not what the people made it out to be. Lord, I thank you, people, when you know your history. It does something for you. It makes you feel a lot better. Just like I was reading about the Father's Day program. Hood-to-Hood Mentoring is again this year honoring fathers. I think it's 11 this year and one past. And they're doing his posthumously. But it's really great. It said... the fathers, let me read a little bit out of the News Gazette. That from left to right, Tariq Hill, Tariq Hill, Carlos Harvey, Johnny Campbell, Dr. Larice Allah, Terry Gall II, E. Martell Miller, Caleb Smith, Senior, Mark Levy, Senior, Not Picture, Trey John Williams, Sam Taylor, Marcus Johnson, and Anthony Green are honored for the Hoodie Award and are being celebrated in their excellence in fatherhood. And they're going to have that at 3 o'clock tomorrow. It's 1708 Bradley Avenue, which is the Hood to Hood office, Hood to Hood Mentoring office. And I'm telling you, it's good to honor African American men, Bishop.
While they're alive and can see the beauty of the things that's going on.
They have been through so much. Did y'all got to hear this speech of Michelle Obama, where she was praising her husband. And I told Bishop, listen to it, that's from me to you. Because I'm telling you, you need to hear that. And it's good that we got to honor our husbands, you know. It was really great. And, we are asking our Heavenly Father to bless our fathers. Today we ask you to bless our earthly fathers, O Father God, for the many times they reflected the love, strength, generosity, wisdom, and mercy that you, O Father God, exemplify in your relationship with us, your children. So we honor our fathers a day before Father's Day. And some of the material that our dear Bishop, one of the dearest mother we had, is Mother Tyler, and her daughter, Lady Phoebe, mm-hmm. is always trying to get information out to the African American people. She actually lives in Texas now, Arlington, I think it is, and she has sent us some Juneteenth information, and she, you know, give it out to people there in her hometown of Texas. And I think the grandmother grandmother for the Juneteenth lives in that town. Arlington, Texas. But anyway, I was looking at the materials, I said, oh, my God, we need to get more of this so our young people can really know the history of Juneteenth. But it's good to share, and that's what their family is, a giving family, you know, Apostle, Charlotte, you know, and she's always giving her wonderful husband, elite gentleman, Percy, yeah. And
Mother Irene Tyler, she was Mother Irene Tyler, she was a person that she wasn't educated, but she went to the school and she in her old age, and she got her diploma, and not only that, but she went to school and got other education at her age, and she turned the table around. She, where she didn't know, she knew, because she went back to school and she let everyone know that hey, it's never too late to learn.
And the Secretary of State for the state of Illinois honored her, you know. So yeah, I remember that. And so we thank Lady Phoebe. And today is her husband's birthday, Bishop.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Uh-huh, sure is her husband's birthday. So now we don't have too much time left, but let's go to our Sunday school lesson, Bishop, and just talk a little bit, you know, about our Sunday school lesson. I'll sing a song while you get the material, your Sunday school material together. You sing a song.
No, it doesn't take long. I already have my materials together. So, we can't do too much because it's a lot in our Sunday school lesson, but we can just only get started because it's a lot in our lesson, and it talks about the history of God's mercy.
God's mercy in history, and that's what's going to be our Father's Day program, and it's right after Juneteenth, Bishop.
Mm, yeah.
God's mercy in history, and we got a few minutes. Joshua 24:2.
Yeah, Joshua.
2-13. You want to talk any more before I just start? So we can give you a few of these verses.
Go ahead.
Joshua 24:2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. 3. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac.
What Joshua was talking about, it's talking about the flood, and we know when you're talking about the flood, that's when God was getting ready to destroy the earth because of sin was so great. And the one man found favor with God, and his name was Noah, and he built an ark with the saving of his family and all the animals that was to replenish the earth. So that was during the flood. So so Noah was the man, preached 120 years, it's going to rain, and they thought he was a crazy man. But after the ark was completed and everything was set in place, God told Noah to go into the ark and all the animals that he would send to him into the ark, and they went in the ark. guess what? All the animals that fight one another and devour one another, there was peace in the ark, and there was no fighting, and because on the outside was certain death. So in essence, all these things will remain in the ark, and that's what Joshua meant on the other side of the flood, meaning that before Noah had got in the ark and all the people was destroyed, all those people on the other side of the flood was destroyed except Noah and his family. So that's what Joshua was talking about on the other side of the flood. And Joshua also was talking about some of the things that today will profit us if we take a hold of those things. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But number four says, "And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt."
Okay, what it's talking about, Abraham, Terah was on this side of the flood, not on the other side of the flood. Terah, after the flood, Terah was born through some Noah's lineage, his seed, and Terah was one of the offspring. And Terah had three sons: Abraham, Nahor, and I can't remember the name of the other one. And the one that I don't remember the name of, he had a son, and he died, and Sarah and Abraham was childless because God was preserving them for a particular season, and Abraham was about 100 years old when Isaac come forth. So we talk about Isaac gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac, and Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. So Mount Seir was for Esau, but God had another work for Jacob's seed, because he said his seed would be like the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven. Abraham did not see all these things happen, but Jacob went down to Egypt because his son was down there, and he was a great leader, and there was a great famine in the land, and they were able to be nurtured in Egypt. And after his son Joseph died, and the Pharaoh that was there when Joseph was alive, they had a new Pharaoh, and that's when they put the children of Israel in bondage, because they were multiplying like the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea, and the Egyptians was afraid that they were going to overpopulate them and take over Egypt.
Five, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. Go ahead.
Now, Moses was the son of one of the offsprings of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and when his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, so sometimes we see in the Bible it says Jacob, and then it says Israel, and some, that's why the nation of Israel come from. They was named after Jacob, and Moses was supposed to be killed because they were in Egypt, and Jezebel had a son, and she hid him because the Pharaoh said if a male child is born, they break his neck or throw him in the river. But she didn't do either. But she kept him as long as she could, and then when she couldn't hide him no longer, she built a little basket and put pitch and slime on it so the water wouldn't penetrate it, and put it on the Nile River among the flags. And his sister Miriam was to watch, and when Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe herself in the river, Moses cried, and she said, "This is a Hebrew child." And she called her name Moses because he was taken from the river. Okay. That's all I can say on that because it's too much to say.
Okay, I sent Moses, also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterwards, I brought you out.
Yes, what happened is that Moses got in trouble and he had to flee from Pharaoh and came across the desert and he was at the well resting, and that's when he got he met Jethro's daughters at the well with their flock, and the shepherd was driving them away, and he got up and defended for them, and they got home early, and Jethro said, "Where's the man that you said would help you?" And they went back to the well and brought Moses to Jethro's house, and Jethro honored Moses and kept him, and Moses was happy to work with Jethro, and Jethro gave him one of his daughters for wife, who was an Ethiopian. So Jethro was an Ethiopian, and the Moses was a Hebrew. So that's why you see the light and dark skin in the Jewish race. Okay.
Six. And I brought you your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptian pursued after your fathers, which with chariots and horsemen, into the Red Sea. Seven. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season.
Okay. What happened there is God, because the Pharaoh kept the children of Israel in bondage over 400 years, and God got him avenged on Pharaoh because of what he did to his people Israel, and he took the children of Israel by the way of the Red Sea. It was another way they could have went to Canaan, but God took them by the way of the Red Sea because he had a plan to get avenged on Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, the last thing they worked in Egypt was the Passover. And the Passover, Pharaoh's son died because he was one of the firstborn. And he was grieving over his son. And then after his grieving was over, the rest of the Egyptians said, "Why did we let the children of Israel go from serving us?" And then Pharaoh got his chariots and horsemen and pursued after the children of Israel, but they was encamped by the Red Sea, and they looked and saw God sent an angel to be before the children of Israel and the Egyptians, so the Egyptians could not come nigh the Israelites. So God let an angel be pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when they got as close to the Red Sea as God wanted them to get, then God allowed the cloud to rise up and Pharaoh started pursuing after them because God had hardened his heart. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And they was afraid because they thought they was walled in and they was captured, so did Pharaoh. But God had another plan. He told Moses to stretch forth his rod, and the sea divided, the water divided from the water, and the east wind dried up the bottom of the sea. And the next morning they got up and started across the sea, and when the angel removed from between the Hebrews and the Egyptians, the Egyptians stopped pursuing after them as they was going down into the Red Sea. They saw that the children of Israel were walking through the water. They thought they could pursue in that after them, and they got in the midst of the Red Sea, and God caused the moisture to come up from underneath and began to bog down, and the angels got in the chariot wheel and they drug heavy, and they tried to go forward. They couldn't go forward, and tried to go back to the shore, and they couldn't go back. And when the children of Israel stepped across on the other side on dry land, then Moses